Today I want to talk a little bit about causes. You know, there's a lot of causes that we can attach ourselves to. Oh, you've got global warming. Save our rainforests. Biblical marriage. End genocide in Darfur. Allow open prayer in public schools. Immigration reform. These are all just examples of causes. We live in an era of causes. Special interest groups are all around us telling us that we ought to attach ourselves and invest ourselves in these causes. Many of them are laser focused, very specifically focused on the one thing that they want to see change. This cause has taken a hold of them, and they are very passionate about their desire to see other people adopt the cause. They give time, they give money, they give sweat equity, they even will put their reputations on the line just so that their cause will get in front of people. Others of these, some of these positions that we're looking at here up on the screen, some of them we would agree with. Some of them we would find troublesome. Some of them we would find perhaps against the law. Some of them we might even find to be anti-biblical. But they're causes that people are passionate about in our culture. This week, as I was asking God what it was that I needed to talk with you about this morning, I felt like He said, Rick, you need to do something different for you, because you guys know that it's very easy for me to get into this really kind of instructive mode where I'm real challenging and I get real intense about that. He said, Rick, you've got to be a cheerleader this week. So this is a little different for me, because I'm not usually one of those cheerleader kind of guys. I kind of lean towards the prophetic, this is the way it ought to be kind of guy. But today God has said, no, there's something different that you have to do. You have to talk about the cause, the call, and the community. You and I have the resources of the King of heaven and earth at our disposal. We have a relationship with the King who has access to anything that there is that exists, and some that doesn't exist yet. But somehow, if you and I are honest, there's a lot of days that we go through aimless, frustrated, and weary. Now, does that sound like somebody who knows the King of the universe? Does that sound like somebody who's been giving marching orders that will go into eternity? We've got to think about that for a little while. Today, I want to remind you that you and I, we have something unique, something special. Above all people, we have a cause that has taken a hold of us. More than any of those that are on that screen, more than any of those that we can project on that screen that are worthy causes. And we need to remember what it was that happened when Jesus Christ took a hold of our lives. Because that's when we get passionate about the cause. Is when we realize the cause has a hold of us. We, each one of us, have a calling to fulfill today. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. And the thing is, it's kind of odd how God segues everything. And one thing that was mentioned at 9:30, I think it was Sophia. The truth is, God's also given us a family, a community of faith, to provide the momentum that will help us achieve this goal that God has given us of establishing His kingdom, which is the cause. That's why we're here today. Because we live in a place and a time that God has picked for us, but it's not easy for us to do all this by ourselves. So we're here. We're gathered. We're together. Not just in this time and this place, but as God's people who He's called to be a part of this body. Now we can see all these three things, the cause, the call, and the community, in a passage that's kind of familiar for us. We actually used this as our theme verse about a year or two ago. And I'm going to revisit it. Because for me, it puts it all right there for us to see, for us to rally to and to follow once again. So, John, pop that up there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Something that Peter said, it frames it all. He said, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness, change into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us." That's got all three things in it. It's all wrapped up in one place. Hey, maybe we're right. I want to break this down and look at each of these. The first thing that I want to look at is the cause. The cause, simply tucked neatly into verse 9, is that you and I, that y'all, okay, because that's a you plural, y'all may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You know, of all the causes that you and I could choose to champion, there's no other more important cause than promoting the kingdom of God. Now, we've got to remember that. Because you see, we have very... Are y'all like me? You get spiritual ADD. Where you seem to focus only on the thing that's right in front of you. And everything else, the big picture, just kind of sometimes goes away. And all you're focused on is what's right in front of you. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not so good. I found that the people who are the most passionate about what God has done through Jesus Christ are the people who can remember what it was like before they knew Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to wallow in self-pity or we ought to stay there and be poor, poor, miserable me. But what I am saying is we have to remember where God took us from and what He did in our lives in order to be passionate about His cause. People whose lives were touched by their causes are the ones who are the most passionate about them. Okay. Forgive me, I'm going to throw some names at you. Okay, George Clooney. Somebody at the UN told George Clooney about what was going on in Darfur. He went there and saw it firsthand, walked with the people and talked with the people, and he came back passionate because his life intersected the reality of what was going on there, the genocide that was happening. And now he is a passionate advocate to deal with that in front of nations. There's a guy that used to play in the NFL. He's now a commentator. His name's Boomer Esiason. Great name. Okay, Boomer. Boomer's got a little boy, or had a little boy. He's now a teenager. His little boy had a disease called cystic fibrosis. Boomer became an advocate to raise money and do research for cystic fibrosis because his life intersected that issue. His son was affected. What I'm trying to say is whenever we allow the power of God and the change that's taken place in our lives to grab a hold of us, that's when we get passionate about living out the cause. When we start to live like we've always been holy, we've always been righteous, we've always been right with God, that's when we have no power in life. Because we become Pharisees. And other people see us as Pharisees. That make sense to you? So the cause that grips us, the roots are in the change that's taken place in us. I can remember whenever I was 18, I felt like I was 52. I'm 52 now. Much more like it. And I do. I felt like there was a switch in my life because there was a weight that left. I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders at 18. And I needed help because I was clueless. I didn't understand what love was. I didn't know what forgiveness was. I couldn't figure out anything. I needed help. And Jesus came to me in my dorm room reading Revelation. And all of a sudden, even though I didn't understand the thing I was reading, okay, I was a dumb jock. I understood Jesus wins. I want to be on the winning team. Made sense to me. And that's how God got my heart. But I remember what it was like then. How confused I was. I had no anchors with which to make decisions. I was miserable. I'm not miserable anymore. I'm not happy with the way things are many times in the world, but I'm not miserable in my soul. You and I have the Spirit of the living God now living deep within us if we have come to Christ and He has changed our lives. We have to remember the important thing about knowing Jesus is that there was a fundamental transformational change that took place in us. When the Spirit of God came into something that was unholy, He rearranged it. He made it new. That's what Paul was talking about in that 2 Corinthians passage. Old things are gone. New things have come. A new critter. We're not the old critter anymore. If that's taken place in us, we should be passionate about that. God's done something marvelous in us. And there are other people who need that very same experience. They need to know there is a God that will change them from the inside out. Won't take away all their junk. Gosh, you know, you and I have things that come at us all the time that's not good. But now we have a God that we're aligned with who lives within us to deal with all of that. Who will walk with us. And then He gives us family like we have right here, right now. To walk with us through all those things. He changes us. That we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. And we're marching in the wonderful light. That's our cause. That's who we are. And when we allow Jesus to live through us, okay, the world doesn't want you to know this, but when we allow Jesus to live His life through us, the world and people change. Just because we show up sometimes. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do, like Deb likes to hear me say, is just be nice. Somebody just needs kindness and compassion, and we do it. We care. We're there. And God uses it, and stuff changes, and people change. That's what we're about. We carry the cause. Sometimes, like Augustine said, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. We may partner and we may agree with other causes, but we've got to make sure that we don't allow any other cause to co-opt that which is the deepest, most passionate part of who we are. Does that make sense? Because it will happen because we're human. We have spiritual ADD far more than we want to admit. All right. Listen how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Preach the gospel at all times. There should be no issue or cause that you and I are more passionate about than promoting Jesus as Lord and being the one who is the bridge to the transforming experience of the Holy Spirit coming into someone's life and seeing life change. That is what we ought to be passionate about. What we ought to desire to see when we wake up in the morning. You know, if you and I are in Christ Jesus and He is in us individually, then you and I have the greatest cause that's ever been established in human existence. We are SEAL Team 6 to the world. Or whatever number it is that goes with that. You understand what I'm saying? We've been trained. We've been empowered. We've been prepared. And now we're going in to the world. It is not friendly. And we have a purpose. If we'll do this, then when we leave this life, we will not fail to have left an impact for Jesus Christ. This cause that we have. The amazing thing about this cause, though, is that you and I are not smart enough, we are not rich enough, nor are we influential enough to do what we're supposed to do. God didn't care. He picked us anyway. And then He did what it took to make us ready and prepared and available. You know, if we're too busy to do what God's called us to do, you know what will happen many times? He'll simplify our lives for us. We think at that time that it's pain and that it's hurt. God, how could you allow this to happen? Well, what He's saying is, sweetheart, I'm just making your life simple so you can really see what it's all about. Because you've allowed yourself to get too preoccupied with another cause other than the one that I saved you for. We're carrying that light so that other people can see our deeds and we can praise our Father. That's what He prepares us for every day, and that's what He provides for us to do every day. Carry that cause. All right. That's the cause. We can all get excited about that. There's something else that's a part of that too, and that is that whole idea that I've already opened up, and that is the idea of calling. So John, let's go to that next. There's two places in this passage, this 1 Peter passage, that talk about our calling. The first is when he says, but you are a chosen people. That's got the word calling written all over it, okay? You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And the second part of that is that we're supposed to live lives among people. Okay, the word they use is pagans. Y'all know what pagans are. Okay, it's what you and I were before Jesus. Okay? It's not some knucklehead that stands on a mountain and stares at the belly button. Okay? It's anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Because there's some God in their life. They just don't realize it maybe. Even if it's themselves. They're pagan. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. You know, our call that we've been given is not to alienation from one another, or even from the world. We're not called to be sucked out of the world. We are called to go into the world. Our calling is to represent Jesus individually and corporately. You know, every time somebody talks about this congregation and they know you're a part of it, it makes a difference. Because they may see your good deeds and glorify God. If we die to ourselves as Jesus did, and we live for Jesus as we're supposed to, We go into the world and something's different. Let me give you the whole foundation for how that happens. It's in Galatians 2:20. John, next screen. I memorized this years ago. I thought it was pretty important for me to remember. There's not a lot of things I choose to memorize, I got to tell you, because I'm not big on memory. I forget too many things. Anyway, I've been crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and delivered Himself up for me. That's the version that I learned. But here's this one, New International. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. There's way too many times I don't remember that I'm supposed to be dead. And that part of me remembering what God has done in my life through Jesus Christ is me saying, Rick died. Fill your own name in the blank. And the life I now live by faith is the life of Jesus. And that's my call. That's your call. It's our call. I want to look at this whole idea of calling for a minute or two. And so I've got to define the word. And here's how I kind of get into this. Luke and I this week were driving. Luke and I drive a lot to and from in town and stuff. And he looked at me and said, Dad, and he said, do we believe in destiny? I don't even know why he said that or why he asked. I said, okay, Lord, help me get this right because I don't want to mess him up. So I said, well, Luke, you know, if we look in the Bible doesn't really talk about people who follow Jesus and know Jesus. And it doesn't use this word destiny. I said, it uses the word calling as a matter of what we're supposed to do and how who we're supposed to be and how that shapes us. And that ends up being our destiny is who God's called us to be. And he seemed satisfied for the time. So we'll see if we get it. We get a second shot at that someday. You know, every follower of Jesus has a calling that defines their life. Every one of us. It shapes what we might describe as the destiny that we have. Our calling is to be ambassadors to the world for Jesus and His kingdom. That's been in, the word ambassador's been in the headlines lately because our ambassadors across the Middle East have been at great risk. One of them's been, assassinated. You and I are in a world like that as ambassadors for Jesus. The world is not always cooperative. Nor does it see things the way we do. But yet we are ambassadors that are going out into that world to represent the King and the kingdom that owns us, whose cause we champion. In American Christendom, we have used this word calling to describe what God does when He selects, chooses, moves people to be people like evangelists or teachers or shepherds or leaders. And we feel very comfortable using that word calling when we're talking about those roles amongst the people of God. That's wrong. We all have the same calling. We are called to be the people of God. We are called to carry the cause of the kingdom, the word of Jesus Christ. That is our calling. We share the same calling. Now the reality is that each one of us will find as we go through life that God hammers out the plan of our calling in different ways. That's His purpose, His plan, His orchestration of all of our lives. It's like being in an orchestra. You have many different people playing many different instruments. Yet together, you get great symphonies. You get Bach. You get Beethoven. You get Handel. Marvelous, wonderful, beautiful. We all have the same cause. We all have the same calling. But the thing that we often miss about this plan is that, and this is the weakness of where we have interpreted calling, is that it's not about me. It's about us. You see, if I start interpreting call to have to do with leaders and pastors and teachers and shepherds, I can say, I'm not one of them. I'm opted out. I'm a second class believer. There's two levels. That is a lie. It is not true. There are no second class believers. There is no second echelon. We are all called to the same thing. We have this cause. We have this call. And it's about us. It's about the kingdom of God. If He didn't want us to share the journey, He would not have called us together and then said that we were His body. We are His body. All right, so this brings us to the third thing that I want to talk about. Community. The last thing in this passage, 1 Peter. It's in verse 10. It's at the top. Yes, I put another passage underneath it, so forgive me. 1 Peter 2:10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Look at the you. Again, once y'all were not a people, okay? But now y'all are the people of God. You were not a people. The very word people is corporate, right? It's together. It's us. Not you individually. It's us. And then look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as y'all see the day approaching. That's a lot of us, isn't it? It doesn't happen alone. It's together. Jesus prayed a special prayer the night before He was arrested and then greatly mistreated. This is what He prayed. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about His disciples. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, through the message of the disciples. Guess what? That's you and me. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What we share and what we have available to us as we share the cause and the calling and we have this wonderful community is rare and unique. Everybody in Savannah does not have what we have. And the truth is, not even all of us here today have necessarily accessed or invested in all that God has given us here. I pray that you will, if you haven't. But like was said a little bit earlier this morning, we have such a special opportunity as God unfolds His purpose and plan. And He has made us who we are for a reason. And it does not matter how big we are. It does not matter how well we do publicity. And it does not matter that we do not do special events. That we don't have special speakers and we don't have whatever. Okay? God's making us a particular way for a reason. And He's given us all we need to do what He wants us to do. The question is, how passionate are we going to be about all that He's given to us and all He's done in our lives? Because every day we wake up, the opportunities are all over the place. Some days more than others. Sometimes we see them better than others. Sometimes we do a better job of being the people of God than others. But the reality is that the doors are wide open for us. And we ought to be excited about what God's doing. I've said it over and over again, and y'all may get tired of me saying this. But the reality is, if I knew somebody who lived in California or Iowa or Maine or New York, and they were telling me that they had no reason to live where they lived, I would say, you need to move to Savannah, because if you want to know Jesus, you want to be a part of what God's doing, you need to come see what's going on here. It is not like anywhere else. And if they got a job, I don't want them leaving their job. Because maybe God's called them. But if there is no anchor in their lives, I would have no problems in saying, be here. Because you'll understand the call, the cause, and the community in a way you'll never get it anywhere else. We've got to be passionate about what God's doing in our lives, not only in our individual lives, but in our corporate life. What did Jesus say that people would see? He said that people will see that you have love for one another, and that would make their jaws drop. Paraphrase version. Let's let them see it. Will you do that with me? Can you get excited about that? We're going to have a few minutes here at the end. And we'll have an altar time, and you can pray and do all the things that we normally do. And then I'm going to kind of call a halt to that, because there's something I want to show you as we leave. And I hope it encourages you. Because God's done a lot of good things through us, but there's a lot more He's got for us to do. So we're going to pray. And Gary, if you guys would come up while I pray, and we'll have our time. Let's bow. Lord God, I just thank You. You are the maker of heaven and earth, and You're the one who has made us who we are. And You've done so many good things in our lives, Lord, each one of us individually. And Lord, amongst us, it's just phenomenal all that You've done. And Lord, I pray that we would grasp and remember what You've done in our lives. That we remember how dark it was and now how light it is. That we would remember how lonely we were and now how we have a family. And the Lord, we'd remember that You have chosen us even though we were not worthy. And that, Lord, it would propel us to be on mission. Propel us to be light in the darkness. Lord, I thank You for this time to do a little cheerleading for once. And I pray that Your name would be lifted up and that all others would pale because you are our God. In Jesus' name. And you come, if you need to pray today, you can pray where you are. It doesn't really matter. But you respond as God calls you to. You've got people who'll be up praying, life group leaders, as you need, as you feel led.
Purple sky to close the day. I wade the surf where dolphins play. The taste of salt, the dance of waves, and my soul wells up with hallelujah. Lightning flash, a pounding heart, a breaching whale, a shooting star. Give testimony that you are, and my soul wells up with hallelujah. Praise Him all His mighty works. There is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Cratered moon and sparrow's wings, oh, thunder's boom and Saturn's rings, unveil you, Father, as you sing, and my soul wells up with hallelujah. Oh, praise Him all His mighty works. There is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pulse of life in my wrist, fallen snow, rising mist. There is no higher praise than this, and my soul wells up, yes, my soul wells up with hallelujah. Oh, praise Him all His mighty works. There is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
today, I'm going to let you put your cards and whatever offering you might have in the basket as you leave today. We'll do it that way. I'm going to pray, and when I'm through praying, I'm going to let John go ahead and cue up what we have to show you. So let's bow. Lord God, we bless your name. We're in awe of the fact that you are in love with us and that you've always loved us. And Lord, that we would get a chance to be a part of what you're doing on the face of the planet. Lord, we're just amazed. And we rejoice in you and we declare that we want to go out and declare your praises. We want to go out and be the light in darkness. Show us how to do that. Go before us. Lead us. Let us be the people you've called us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John.
Nobody stood and applauded them, so they knew from the start this road would not lead to fame. All they really knew for sure was Jesus had called to them. He said, "Come follow me," and they came. With a reckless abandon they came. Empty nets lying there at the water's edge told a story that few could believe and none could explain. How some crazy fishermen agreed to go where Jesus led, with no thought for what they would gain. But Jesus had called them by name, and they answered, "We will abandon it all for the sake of a creed or a cause, and not for a dream or a promise, simply because it is Jesus who calls, and if we believe, we'll obey, yeah, and we'll answer, we will answer, we will abandon it all for the sake of the call. No other reason at all but the sake of the call, wholly devoted to live and to die for the sake of the call. For the sake of the call, for the sake of the call. Ooh,
yeah. Great Commission, Jesus said, as you're going into the world, make disciples. That's us. You're blessed. You're dismissed.